does a default mean for the government, and what are the consequences?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're hearing this morning that there may be a House vote today on Speaker John Boehner's plan that would raise the nation's debt ceiling enough to avoid default, at least for a few months. Now, whether it passes or gets past the Senate and the White House are other stories altogether. What we're focusing on this morning is the term default. Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us live from Station WNYC to explain that and what default really means. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
What is a default?
So a default is when we can't pay our biggest and our most pressing loans. So right now, what does that mean? It means treasury bonds. Mm-hmm. On August 3rd, we're going to have to pay interest payments to everyone who bought treasury bonds, and we're about $3 billion short. We have to make those payments. We have no choice. So to make them, there are other people we won't be able to pay. People who get Social Security, veterans, government employees, and contractors who've done a lot of work for the government.
Yeah.
We all get a few bills every month. That's the way to think about it. But the U.S. Treasury gets about 3 million bills every day.
Wow.
And they're going to have to decide who to pay day by day. Just to go through that list is of millions is an enormous job.
I can imagine. Has the Treasury even started to do that?
Well, they say they have, and they're going to tell us in the next few days. But a lot of people have doubts that they can really have a plan. It's just so big.
And if we default, Heidi, people are worried that the ratings agencies might downgrade us, right? We keep hearing about that over and over again. What would that mean?
Yeah, well, the ratings agencies are just sick of us at this point. They're just done. And they don't like that we're actually considering not paying our bills and we're the best credit on the planet. So they said they'll downgrade us if we default. We know that. But even worse, they'll downgrade us if we don't get our act together.
Mm.
They want to see us cut the deficit permanently. A downgrade would probably cause a huge crisis. It would cause the U.S. to pay higher interest rates on treasury bonds, and the rest of us would pay higher interest rates, too. The banks use treasury bonds as collateral, so the banks would be in trouble again. We remember from 2008 how that worked out, and who wants a replay?
Nobody. Well, I'm sure. Yeah. Marketplace's Heidi Moore reporting from New York. Heidi, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Government officials in Jefferson County, Alabama, are meeting today to consider a couple of options: settle a $3.2 billion sewer debt with creditors or file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. It would be the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. From Birmingham, Gigi Duban explains the dilemma.
The county has actually flirted with the idea of bankruptcy for the last 3 years. Today, commissioners hold out hope that last-minute talks with Wall Street creditors will bring a settlement. The sticking point in negotiations has been sewer rate increases. Creditors want a 25% rate hike, but County Commission President David Carrington says that's too high.
The ratepayers have experienced more than the 300% increase over the last 5 or 6 years. Basically, our citizens are tapped out on this regard.
Melissa Woodley teaches finance at Samford University in Birmingham. She says filing Chapter 9 wouldn't surprise anyone.
The damage is done. It's not like we're keeping it a secret that we're in financial distress and the bankruptcy is going to tip everybody off. Everybody realizes that the credit rating has been cut to junk.
County Commission President David Carrington says at this point, he's not worried about the county's reputation. He says without a reasonable settlement offer, he will vote for bankruptcy today. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up about 0.5%. The Dow up 0.33%, 33 points at 12,336. Some good news on the job front this morning. That could be what this is all about. Fewer people filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week, 24,000 fewer, to under 400,000, according to the Labor Department report that was out this morning. That's the lowest level since last April. The number of people in the process of buying a home rose a bit between May and June, according to the National Association of Realtors.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Cosmetic maker Avon today said profit rose 23% thanks to bigger sales numbers in South America. Avon, of course, is known for its door-to-door selling of makeup and other items, but across the world in Uganda, one U.S. organization is using the Avon model to help consumers get often unavailable products. And this month, that service is expanding. Here's the BBC's Anna Cavell.
With a $75 loan, women in Uganda are being turned into entrepreneurs. 700 of them have been hired by Living Goods to sell its health products door-to-door in their rural communities. A dose of medicine can cost just 20 cents to buy, but the transport costs to reach the store that sells it could be $2. And buying in bulk means these female entrepreneurs can get the products cheaply and cut out the travel costs for their customers. Jo Spiker is the vice president of the San Francisco-based organization. He's confident the business model will work because it's inspired by an American household name.
Avon was founded in the 1860s in upstate New York, and the conditions there are very similar to the conditions that you would find today in sub-Saharan Africa. Primarily social networks, underemployed women, and low penetration of essential products.
Living Goods has what it calls a double bottom line. It aims to both make a profit and improve community health. But big businesses are also looking at this model with interest. Procter & Gamble is already selling its products through Living Goods saleswomen. And this 19th century business model is being updated with 21st century technology. From this month, customers will start receiving targeted text messages on their mobile phones with information about discounts and promotions. In Kampala, I'm the BBC's Anna Cavell for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a new attraction at Toronto's giant CN Tower. Starting Monday, you're going to be able to walk outside of the observation deck up top onto a metal see-through grate and look down 1,200 feet below. No rails. Hopefully, you're not going to drop anything. Your body will be tethered to the building, of course, but what's not tethered is that $184 fee that will disappear from your wallet because of your fascination with heights. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Cod. It's the wave of the future.
The growing conditions in Maine are very good for cod, and it's a kind of a natural choice for us as a state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, teaching fishermen to be farmers at Cod Academy. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street and whatever's happening with the debt story as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.